Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason, and this is JNPO Classic here on WrestlingObserver.com, our somewhat weekly look back at the year of 2011-2012 through the lens, the eyes, of the WJAM MMA show, a weekly radio show I used to host with my trusty friend PJ Hewitt, great producer on the show for ESPN New Hampshire, WJAM The Game. So this is an era that, again, 2011-2012, the sport was changing quite a bit, UFC heading to Fox. That was a lot of what this episode was about, because Dana White was set to announce the debut fight of their Fox debut. There was a lot of speculation about this. This was the September 1st, 2011 edition of the show, by the way, if I didn't mention that before. So PJ and I talked about some of the speculation. I backed off my initial guess, my break push, which was moving Velasquez Dos Santos up from the pay-per-view, which was happening a week afterward. I was like, I don't know if they're going to do that. Early on, if you guys remember past shows, I called it, and then I backed off it. So let that be a lesson to you. Don't back off your original guess. Stick with your gut. And it was kind of fun listening to some of the guesses. We guessed Tito Ortiz versus Rich Franklin, Henderson Guida perhaps being the main event on the show or being a big part of the show, which it should have been. It's still probably one of the most criminal things ever to have that fight on Fight Pass or Facebook, rather, and to not have it on Big Fox. Just completely just short-sighted. But we saw what happened with all that. So we talked about that. Rampage Gate. This is a big news edition of the show. Rampage Gate. He was talking about spying Rampage Jackson. He was preparing for his UFC title fight or his UFC title challenge against John Jones happening later on that month. And there was a lot of talk about spies in Rampage's camp. And he faked a hand injury to test this out. News got back to the UFC and he knew he had a spy, a rat. So he was talking a lot about that, and he was very upset. So it was a lot of kind of drama leading up to this this big title fight coming up in a couple weeks. Speculation about Brock Lesnar retiring because, obviously, the diverticulitis, all kinds of issues. Speculation was running wild, so we talked about that. We did a recap of UFC 134, the UFC's return in Brazil, headlined by Anderson Silva versus Yushin Okami. We did a fantasy draft, which was a lot of fun and something I'm actually going to bring back to JMPO proper here in the months ahead. It was a really fun thing. PJ and I picked up, I believe it was five or six guys each, and it was a lot of fun, so enjoy that. And let's see, the interview of the show, we did talked to John McCarthy, big John McCarthy, who had his first book. I believe it's just the only book he says he's written, but it was a new book at the time, a book that we never read or got. I don't believe PJ may have got it and maybe just didn't give it to me to read. But as we kind of went through this, kind of keep it in the back of your mind, I'm asking questions, not having read the book at all. So I have no idea what's inside. So 418 page book, pretty long stuff. It was kind of interesting listening back to this, what he talked about with respect to Joe Rogan and Rogan's role watching a fight from cage side as opposed to the referees and judges' viewpoints either inside the cage or also a cage side as well, as far as what they see, what he sees, and all that. I thought that was interesting. He talked about his command training, the program kind of teaching people how to be referees and all that. So this interview, I'd say for the most part, still holds up 6 years later. So definitely worth the listen. A little side note here, the fantasy football faux pas that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'll have you know, I'm still in that same league. The guy who is a friend of mine did another shady thing just last week in vetoing a trade of mine. Can you believe that? The same guy, 6 years later after I listened to this, just pulled some more BS. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's get to the September 1st, 2011 edition of the WJAM MMA show here at JMPO Classic, featuring yours truly, PJ Hewitt, and Big John McCarthy. Enjoy. Anderson Silva is still the man. We'll tell you why. People are spying, and major people might be retiring. And Big John McCarthy joins us to talk about his new book. It is September 1st, and the WJAM MMA show is live. Hey, everyone. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt here with you. Beautiful Thursday night here in Nashua, New Hampshire. I've had a lot of caffeine today. I'm fired up.
All right.
Very fired up. My friend of mine made a fantasy faux pas. commissioner of a league decided to move up the draft to 7:30 tonight instead of 8 o'clock.
So will you be drafting as we record our show here?
I'll be looking in and out, and I tried to explain this to him and said this major faux pas the day of the draft, and
yeah,
he just completely ignored me and blew me off. So I got a little bit fired up about that. Could have could have taken him in the octagon. Would have been nice to tap him out and teach him a lesson or two. But Big John McCarthy would probably pull me off. Big John McCarthy.
He'd step in
and say, it's over. It's over. So anyway, we're going to talk to Big John McCarthy in our second segment tonight. Lots to talk about today. Lots to talk about. So Big John McCarthy, legendary mixed martial arts referee. His first book has hit the shelves, and we will talk to him all about that, his career refereeing, and all kinds of other cool stuff. So we'll talk to him in our second segment. We will also, in the spirit of fantasy, and the spirit of the season of fantasy football, which is upon us, we're actually, PJ and I, are going to do a little bit of a fantasy draft here with mixed martial arts stars. So if we were to start our own fight team with existing fighters that are active, who would we start with? So PJ and I will do that, and I will dominate him as always. And let's actually kick off with the news. We'll start with this. We'll actually talk about UFC 134 in a second. So there are two things are kind of going on right now. One, actually, when I first came in, you had mentioned to me a little bit of Spygate apparently going on. What can you tell us?
Yeah, apparently Quentin Rampage Jackson thought someone was spying on him and leaking some information out to his upcoming opponent, John Jones. So he decided to, according to him, fake a hand injury to see if that would leak or see how fast that would leak out. And apparently within 4 hours of him going around his training or in the gym while he was training, saying that he had hurt his hand. But within 4 hours, he received a call from the USFC inquiring about said hand injury.
Which was fake. Yes.
So he's pretty much now convinced that there is someone in his camp leaking information to the John Jones camp. And it is not the first time that he has thought that someone has been spying on him when his fight against Rashad Evans. He said that Rashad Evans was punching his knee because he was hiding a knee injury. He didn't want anyone to know.
Okay.
And he said that Rashad Evans was punching his knee, and he goes, who punches a knee? Well, someone who knows that the knee is very hurt. So he's been thinking that it's been happening for a while now, apparently, allegedly, and now he is 100% convinced that he has a spy in his camp.
So he thinks it is someone that is working for John Jones or someone that is just in his camp he's trying to smoke out, if you will.
Yes, someone that is involved with him in his camp and in his training that was put in there that is leaking information out to his opponents.
Spygate in the world of UFC. Imagine that.
Rampagegate.
Rampagegate.
I don't know if that's that probably won't catch on. You won't see hashtag Rampagegate anytime soon, but
interesting. Well, we'll see if this develops anymore. Certainly.
Of course, by the way, John Jones camp and his trainer, 100% denying that.
Greg Jackson.
Yes.
Denying that. Yeah.
It was his man. It wasn't his trainer. It was his manager that had come out and
Malky?
Yes.
Malky Kawa.
Yes.
His agent. Yes.
His agent.
Super agent to the stars. At first blush, and I have not done, I heard a little bit about this and it was just kind of in passing, I guess, because this kind of broke yesterday. And to me, I was just kind of like, eh, whatever. I didn't even give it any thought. So I haven't really done much investigation. This isn't something you hear about frequently or even often at all. So it's unusual. I wonder if maybe part of it's because it's Rampage saying it. He's used to saying kind of preposterous things that, you know, I wonder if it kind of gets lost in that. If this was a guy, say, like, I don't know, Uriah Faber or maybe even Rashad Evans. I'm just trying to think of a random guy, Brock Lesnar or Cain Velasquez. If Cain Velasquez says someone's spying on me, be like, that's interesting. That doesn't seem like the type he would just go
right
and say crazy things. Rampage went on a couple of years ago when a well-noted car rampage throughout the streets of, was it Las Vegas or California? One of the two. And you can read about that and end up hitting a car, and it was just a mess. So he's had some wild times. So I don't know. I guess if there's anything to this, I'm sure we'll see. But spying. Interesting. Interesting stuff. So some news, other news going on today on this Thursday, the first day of September. Looks like there's going to be a major announcement on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, which is really where everything's at. And so it looks like according to Dana White via his Twitter, the big announcement And he spells big, you know, all caps, which is good. Tomorrow. It's like texting type. It's so funny. So the big announcement tomorrow at 10.
Well, I'm assuming he tweeted this. That's why.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still, it's just very funny. The big announcement tomorrow at 10 a.m. will be the Fox fight. So the UFC and Fox are so pumped for UFC on Fox Sports and 8 exclamation points. Awesome. So it looks like, I thought it could be a few things, and we'll get to what those are. Other things I thought it would be in a second. So it looks like they're going to announce a big Fox fight tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I am very intrigued as to what this is going to be. There's been plenty of speculation. I have said fights I think it should be. I think it looks like it's going to, again, it's going to be a 1 hour show. They're going to have two fights, and that looks to be about it. So they're looking to get it done in an hour. So I don't think it's going to be any title fights, much to my chagrin. I ideally would
probably not to start off.
I ideally would have postponed the pay-per-view the week after that, because you're going 3 consecutive weeks. I would postpone the pay-per-view, put the heavyweight title fight Dos Santos Velasquez on this show. However, I don't think that's going to happen. What I do think and what I hope is I'm guessing. I will say it's going to be, I don't know if they're going to announce both fights.
I would assume if they're going to announce one, they might announce the other.
I would think so. I bet we're going to get Ben Henderson and Clay Guida.
Oh,
that's my guess.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
That will be the first fight, and I'm guessing the main event for the card. I am going to just go out on a limb. I'm guessing it's going to be Tito Ortiz versus Rich Franklin, because I've heard that I've heard that fight mentioned. Tito is still seen as a star. I don't know if it's the best thing for business. It would certainly be better, because again, you're looking at the casual fan,
right? You want to have two guys that are one guy who's could be well known into those fringe MMA guys with Tito Ortiz, and another guy, Rich Franklin, who's been around forever. So if you've been following MMA, you know who he is.
They're both former champions.
Yep.
So that's interesting. But so I would take those two guys over, say, Lyoto Machida and Phil Davis, who those two guys, you may get a boring 15-minute fight.
Yeah.
People don't know who they are. You know, that's not how you first, again, you're exposing an audience for the first time.
Especially Machida and kind of how his fights will take the, his last fight out of it.
The Randy Couture knockout.
Yep. But his last few fights, you know, hasn't been over exciting. He's not one of those exciting fighters anyway because of his style. He's one of those guys that kind of just stalks around you, waits for you to come in and attack and counters you. You know, that very karate style, and it's not very exciting. I wouldn't put him on that. I would say no for that. We mentioned last week possibly BJ Penn.
BJ Penn, Carlos Condit taking that off the GSP undercard, GSP Diaz undercard. Interesting.
Yep, possibly. And speaking of Carlos Condit and Ben Henderson, both fighters signed extensions with the UFC.
Ah, yes,
as well today.
So three fights at Bloody Elbow is just speculating on, based on the current landscape. Vitor Belfort versus Chris Lieben. So apparently Jeremy Botter, who I know from Heavy.com, tweeted last night. He confirmed it wasn't happening, but it could be a red herring because the UFC has been known to throw those out from time to time. Mauricio Shogun Hua, fresh off his big victory versus Dan Henderson. So assuming that Henderson signs, that would be
a very good fight.
That'd be actually very good. Again, you're looking at the mainstream, but if they push Henderson the right way, like a Couture type, they could do something with that. The other fight, Alistair Overeem versus Frank Mir, because that leads to rumors that I was just going to talk about. Alistair Overeem looks like he is going to be signing with the UFC, that the embargo with Golden Glory is over, and that those fighters from the Netherlands and such will be allowed to fight in the UFC and the Zuffa companies. And so Alistair Overeem would come in. Nobody knows who Alistair Overeem is except for the hardcores, and even some of those has not actually seen him fight before. His one big exposure, at least recently, was a pretty slow-paced fight against Fabricio Werdum at the Strikeforce tournament. So, and Frank Mir can obviously talk, but I don't know if that's good for a Fox card. So.
No, not right away. No, maybe that would be more of an undercard to me,
yeah,
as the co-main event rather.
Yeah.
But I'm not. That doesn't.
I would
really
say,
get me.
I would say for one hour, you're looking.
If you get Ben Henderson and Clay Guida to lead off that would that's the best possible fight you could make
to open
for a free show on Fox.
Yeah,
the pace that those two guys fight at.
Yeah, I would say you open with the Teenage Wasteland video, which is a staple at, you know, it's never been broadcast before. It's one of the best fight montages, highlight clips ever. So if you haven't been to a UFC, you haven't heard of it, basically what they do is they have a video for every main UFC live card they show in the arena. It's Bob O'Reilly by The Who, and they string fight clips together. It's basically a history of the UFC in a lot of ways. It is awesome. You can see it 10 times and you still say it's awesome every single time.
Could I find it online? Because I've never seen it.
There's older versions online, but they're kind of like bootleg versions, thing like that. But you can definitely get a taste of it. Yeah. So I would air that to start with, because I have 5 minutes, and then I would go Henderson Guida, and then I would go Ortiz Franklin based on the current landscape. Would I love to see Shogun versus Henderson instead? Absolutely. I don't know if the mainstream is going to accept that, or they're going to understand and really grasp it, but right. You never know. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. So that'll be interesting. So again, Alistair Overeem, it looks like he is on his way to the Octagon. He is someone that's, again, not very well known, but someone that is a potentially superstar. He's got a great look, great physique, big dude. And if he starts knocking people out like he has been, or has shown the propensity to do in the past, could be a very good in name in the heavyweight mix. And there is also a rumor, we teased it in the open, that Brock Lesnar, heard today is a rumor, he might be retiring, which would be very interesting. Don't have a lot of the details, but apparently someone close to his camp has been kind of spreading it around. I'm going to see if I can look it up here. Okay, so here it is. So let's see. Multiple sources close to his camp tell a different story about the former champion's condition. According to the sources, more than one doctor has informed Lesnar he should no longer compete in the sport due to the stress that training and fighting puts on his body. Even with a planned return to the cage in early 2012, Lesnar might be warming to the idea of retirement, and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if there's any validity to that kind of made its way around today. That'd be certainly a big blow to the heavyweight division, but I guess with everything, we'll have to see.
Yeah, he's not one of the guys I think the UFC would really like to lose, but you know, he's one of the guys that brings in the most money for every pay-per-view. His buys go through the roof because, well, his exposure through the WWE, a lot of people knew who he was before he even stepped foot into the Octagon, and his size and his quickness and his knowledge in wrestling and how well he's adapted after his first few fights in the UFC and just how he exploded. Yeah, this is going to be a really big blow to him, but I would think, you know, to him, his health and his family comes first. He's very big on his family. And if he gets enough guys telling him in his ear, doctors saying that you shouldn't do this anymore, you know, you've battled with diverticulitis twice now. You know, you've had part of your 12 inches of your colon removed. Do you really want to put more stress on your body and face even more longer term injuries?
Well, and you were mentioning about the pay-per-view buys. So it's a stat that I love, and probably because I can actually remember it, is that there has been, in the history of pay-per-view, there's been the guy that has headlined the most pay-per-views that have topped 1 million buys is Mike Tyson with 6. All right, this is all of combat sports. Brock Lesnar, I think that's right. Brock Lesnar has 3 pay-per-views he's headlined with 1 million buys, 2 in 1 year. And apparently there's only, I think Tyson might be the only guy that's done that before. Some amalgam of that. But basically, in the UFC, Brock Lesnar is the money man. Brock Lesnar, GSP, those are the two guys. Lesnar, because again, like you mentioned, he's got that mainstream appeal. He's got that look. You say Brock Lesnar, people, like, they get it. They see him, they're like, wow, I want to see that guy fight. It's kind of a cool thing like that. So we'll have to see. I hope that's not the case. It didn't feel strong enough that that's the case. So I guess
I think he'd really take his time. I don't think he wants to retire on this note.
I don't think he
would.
Either.
He would take even more time just so he could come back and at least fight one more time.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to UFC 134. Speaking of heavyweights, happened this past Saturday in Rio, Brazil. Early pay-per-view indications from my main Dave Meltzer, writes with Yahoo Sports and also WrestlingObserver.com, saying that buys are coming in lower than what Rashad Evans versus Tito was. Which is shocking. They don't know if, again, this is the immediate assumption, well, I got to blame Hurricane Irene because of the East Coast. However, it doesn't account for Canada. It doesn't account for California or any of these other strongholds of MMA where UFC buys are. The pay-per-view buy numbers will still come in. They don't make them official, but we'll know in a few weeks, and we'll kind of tell you here what's going on. But so far, they're trending down, which is interesting because they thought this one with the Brazil factor, the history factor, do well. It was good 3 fights on top. So we'll talk about the main event, middleweight championship, Anderson Silva versus Yushin Okami. Anderson Silva made it look ridiculously easy, defeating Yushin Okami in the second round. PG and I watched a show together at Jillian's in Manchester, where you can see all the fights. And we just kind of sat and we're just like, well, that didn't surprise us at all.
No, he did exactly what he does. He feels out his opponent through the first round, and Okami kind of got some shots in. Didn't really affect Anderson Silva at all. And second round, you said as much. You're like, yeah, this is it. This is the round. He's going to turn it on. And what did he do? He came out and it's like he flipped a switch, and he came out, and again, Okami hit him a couple times, and it was like flies buzzing around his head. And head kicked him. Silva did, and that was it. Or actually, Okami did, and
it was, yes.
And again, he just makes really good fighters look terrible, right, when he wants to.
Yeah. I think so. The things that stood out that I told you that night, end of the first round, the head kick by Silva to end the round. Because again, yep, Okami's bullying him up against the cage. Really wasn't doing any damage. You know, Anderson threw some knees, but Anderson was just kind of like, was just feeling him out, right? Just kind of.
And he does it with every single opponent.
Every single guy, yep, right? And you know who also does this is Jose Aldo. So he's another guy I think is very similar in that vein where he starts out slow and then just starts going a buzzsaw. Beginning of the second round, Silva comes out, and remember his hands were going really fast. He was just kind of like really like frenetic, right? Frenetic pace. And then Okami was, you know, threw a couple, didn't really hit. Silva put his hands down by his sides, almost like, go ahead.
And that's when you know. That's when he knows he's won the fight.
And Okami, basically, you could just see his body language change. He tried to hit him, couldn't do anything. I think may have tagged him once, nothing. Silva,
yeah, he hit him once, and it was just like I said, just nothing. Just hit him, and he didn't faze him at all.
Silva has his hands down. One quick jab, and Okami drops. And eventually gets back up, gets hit again, and Silva just goes to work, and it was over. And it seemed like effortless, not a scratch on Silva at all. He's got the championship, and once again, he's not challenged. He's just an easy night.
And another fight, like you said, he hits Okami, and it reminded me of the Forrest Griffin fight, where Griffin's throwing punches, and he's moving like the Matrix, just bobbing and weaving, getting out of the way, and just one quick jab, and Forrest Griffin was down. Yeah. And it looks, and you watch it, you're like, it didn't even look like he hit him that hard, which leads me to think, he's not throwing as hard as he can. He's throwing, it looks like, 60 to 70% those punches. He could hit you harder if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And just think of the damage he could do.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, I remember that Griffin fight. He just looked, it was just like an effortless boom, and Griffin didn't just go down. He went down.
Yeah.
So he's got, Silva is just, I don't know if we even know what we're seeing. And granted, Okami is, you know, not the most charismatic guy. He had put in 3 wins in a row. He's not, no slouch by any means. But he, Silva made him look like he was an absolute amateur in his first fight. So another big win for Silva. We'll see what's next for him. Likely the winner of Chael Sonnen versus Brian Stann, which comes up in October. That, I think,
like to see that Sonnen Silva rematch.
That will be a good test. Either guy, I think, is going to be a great test. Really quick before we go to break, the co-main event. Thoughts on the destruction of Forrest Griffin by one Mauricio Shogun Hua, defeating him via knockout, 153 of the first round.
Yeah, Forrest Griffin looks like he might be on the backside of his career. His last few fights hasn't really looked overly impressive. I know he got a decision win over Rich Franklin, but at the same time, you know, had and a win over Tito Ortiz. But before that, lost to Anderson Silva and Rashad Evans. And his, before that, it was 2008, his last win against Quentin Rampage Jackson. So, yeah, I think Forrest Griffin might, he's one of those guys that he's going to be a middle card guy for the rest of his career, and he's going to be one of these win one, lose one guys. And Shogun, we were talking about it when we were watching the fight. We really thought that he was going to be impressive and try to bounce back off his loss from John Jones. And he did, and he looked very impressive. And crowd, you know, being in Brazil too, crowd went absolutely crazy.
They did. They went crazy all night for all the Brazilians.
Even the preliminary cards on Facebook. The crowd, I've never heard the crowd that insane over preliminary fights before.
Right. It was an impressive performance by Shogun Hua, just dominating Forrest Griffin. And overall, just a pretty crazy night. We'll talk about that more in a minute. We got to hit a break. Big John McCarthy coming up next. This is the MMA Show in New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. All right, back on the WGAM MMA Show, and our next guest really needs no introduction, but since it's radio, we do have to do one. He is, he's been in the sport forever. If you've been following mixed martial arts by any stretch of the imagination, you've seen him officiate fights, a fixture of the sport. He has his first book is coming out, Let's Get It On, written with a fantastic writer, Loretta Hunt. He is the man himself, Big John McCarthy, joining us on the show. John, thanks for taking some time tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
So you've been on a little bit of a media tour this week, and I mean, how many interviews are you doing a day to promote this book?
Oh, my God. I think this is like my sixth or seventh one today, but quite a few.
Wow. So you're just like the you know, the Chuck Liddells and the Randy Couture's and the John Jones and all these, you know, stars and things like that. You're the star now. You're the guy that's doing all the media interviews.
No, I'm definitely not the star, and it's everyone is just, they're reading the book going, you got to be kidding me. So no, it's just a matter of trying to answer questions now.
So what is there one question that you you're surprised that you have not been asked yet?
No, you know what? I've been asked a lot of stuff, and it's funny how almost everyone comes up with something about the book that they find interesting or that they like. So it's actually been pretty much all over the place.
So let's talk about the book, obviously. So how did this idea first start, and did Loretta come to you, or did you kind of have the idea, or tell us how this project got kicked off?
No, it was not my idea. Loretta is the only reason that book was written, and she came to me wanting to write the book, and I was actually, you know, really hesitant to doing it. It was something that I didn't really want to do. I didn't, you know, first off, I didn't think anyone would read it. Then it was a matter of, I didn't think I had anything that, you know, someone would be interested in. And she was the one that kept pushing. And her thing was, you know, look, there's a lot that has gone on in the sport, but there's a lot that has gone on that people don't know about it. And you need to, you know, make sure that, you know, people understand what really happened and, you know, how things have come about. And so I looked at it in the end, it was, I wanted people to understand, you know, where the sport, you know, how it started, who was responsible, and who was responsible for keeping things going, and who are the guys that, you know, put their reputations on the line trying to, you know, move MMA forward and things like that, because that's important. Those guys deserve credit.
Now, John, you've been involved with the sport a very long time. Over the course of your tenure with mixed martial arts, how have you seen, there's got to be some good and bads with how the sport has evolved. What are some things that you think have been good for the sport that have happened, and some things that maybe you didn't care so much about?
Oh, my God. You know, there's so many things that have happened within the sport, and, you know, both good and bad, and that's, you know, that's part of, you know, life. That's the way life works. You have good days and bad days, and it's happened, you know, in MMA. There's been times where, you know, you have people that do things that, you know, they make the sport look bad. There's times guys have done things that aren't smart, and it represents the sport in the wrong way, and there's times guys do great things, and sometimes it's what they do in the ring, sometimes it's what they do out of the ring that people, you know, resonate with and admire. So there's been, you know, good and bad in everything. I would say overall, the good has absolutely far outweighed the bad, and that's why people like the sport and like the people that are associated with the sport.
So the book itself, 418 pages. It's no pamphlet. We'll put it that way. It's a nice thick book. So take me through a little bit of what people can see in the book, and kind of break down what kind of content we're looking at here.
Well, the book really starts off with kind of, you know, a little bit of what it's like to, you know, be the referee and see the fight, but then it goes into my background, goes into my father and, you know, who he was and how he raised me and how things, you know, ended up being, you know, put in my mind a certain way of, you know, right and wrong and how things should be. And then it goes through a very quick thing of, you know, my life, you know, getting into, you know, college and then going on to the LAPD and what the LAPD was like and instances that I was part of and took part of, and then how the UFC came about and how it was started and then the people that were responsible for it, and taking it through all of the UFCs up to, you know, basically today.
Talking with Big John McCarthy is a new book, Let's Get It On, coming out, I believe it's on newsstands now, correct?
It is on. It is out now.
I like it.
It is the day for sure.
I like it. So, how long did the process take to I guess essentially write? I mean, I assume a lot of it is you know, doing interviews, sure, with Loretta and so on. How long did that process take?
You know, I say the process really took overall about 2 years.
Wow,
it was about a 2-year process for doing them. The book was completely different than, you know, doing it was completely different than I thought. And I ended up spending a lot of time with it, and it was, you know, I thought, you know, it would be me talking to Loretta, and she's going to write stuff down, and they're going to print that, and it's going to be good. And it's, you know, it was almost like the tell a friend thing, you know. I would tell her something, and she would go and write it, and then I would read it, and I'd go, no, that's not what I was saying. And then I would go, and I would actually fix it, and then she would understand what I was saying, and she would clean it up for me. And it was a good process overall. There was a lot of times I wanted to quit. There was a lot of times I looked at it and said, you know, screw this, I'm done. And, you know, if I could have quit, I would have, but at a certain point I couldn't. But overall now I'm very happy with the way the book came out. I thought she did a great job with it, and I'm happy with the end result. It's, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback from people, you know, that I know, and feedback from other people. Everyone seems to really like the book. I've only had a couple of people that are mad at me about things, and that's all right. You know, that's going to happen. But I tried to be very truthful and honest throughout the book and make sure that people understood, you know, how things happen. And I take responsibility for things that I did that are wrong. And, you know, that's just the way it's supposed to be, I thought.
Now, UFC color commentator Joe Rogan has been a very outspoken proponent of kind of making the judges for UFC and MMA more unified and get these guys who know the sport, because sometimes the state athletic commissions can bring these judges in and they don't necessarily know the sport very well and can sometimes see a fight completely different than someone else. I'd just like to know your thoughts about that.
Well, I mean, you know, there's times when you can look at a fight and, you know, people are going to, there's many times you'll have a fight and Joe Rogan is sitting in a position where Joe gets to sit there and he straddles the fence. And that's not saying anything bad about Joe, but that's the position he has as a commentator when, you know, he's doing a fight and he's looking in a certain way. And then, you know, all of a sudden the judges go the opposite way. And the crowd goes, well, Joe can sit there and, you know, oh, you know, this is controversial and stuff like that because, you know, he had no part of it. And he's looking at it, but there are times when he does that when the judges are absolutely right in what they did. And what I mean by that is you can have a fight where you have a fight between two guys that are very well matched, and they're putting on, you know, a good fight. You know, it can be where it's, you know, it's close, and you have, you know, fighter A ends up squeaking by fighter B in the first round, and the judges give a 10-9 round to fighter A. And then it goes to the second round, and again, he does the exact same thing. Fighter A squeaks out a very close round against fighter B, and the judges go 10-9 and give it to fighter A. And then the third round comes about, and the fighter B comes out, and he really starts putting his hands on fighter A, and he starts, you know, really lighting him up, and he's dominating the round for the most part. And by the end of the round, he's really putting it on this fighter, and the judges end up giving him the round 10-9. But what the fans saw and what Joe saw was, you know, fighter B coming at the end of the fight. He's the one winning the fight, and then the judges are giving it to the guy that everyone saw getting beat on. And they're not happy, but the judges are really stuck with what they have because they're not judging the fight as a whole. They're judging it round by round and giving the point structure that they're allowed to give. And so, you know, there's times when Joe's absolutely right. I look at the fight, you know, other people look at the fight, and I don't see what the judges saw. I see the fight differently, and that all comes down to education and making sure that judges are giving credit for the right things in a fight. And there's times when the judges' hands are kind of tied together because of the way the fighters fight the fight, and the one guy turns it on at the end, but he didn't do enough in the first two rounds to win those rounds, and he ends up losing the fight, and the crowd's not happy with it. And, you know, that can happen, but that's not on the judges. That's just the way the scoring system goes. So you get both.
Talking with Big John McCarthy, his book, Let's Get It On, in stores now, a really great history about his career and really a history of MMA and where it's come in this culture. And despite what a lot of people think, the sport did exist prior to 2005 and the UFC boom. And, you know, talking about, you know, judging and being an official, I want to talk a little bit about Command, and I know that it's a training certification school for referees and judges. I have a friend of mine in Vancouver, I believe, that actually attended a course a couple of years ago, raved about it. So explain about Command and what the goal is and your experience with that so far.
Well, I put Command together for to train either judges or referees, depending upon which course they were going to go through. in what I believe is the right way of, you know, looking at more mixed martial arts, what they should be doing. If it's a judging course, you know, we talk about what, you know, the fighters are doing, what the judges should be giving credit for. Because if there's one thing that's really happening now within MMA, and you're seeing it, a lot of times you're seeing referees actually trying to alter the sport. You know, MMA is not a sport of stand-up kickboxing with small gloves. MMA is a sport where you have two guys that can come in and they can stand up and kickbox. They can stand up and use elbows like a Muay Thai fighter. They can grab a hold and grapple like a wrestler. They can, you know, go down the ground and use submission like a jiu-jitsu guy. It's up to the fighter as to where that fight should be and how it should be conducted depending upon their skill level and their techniques. It shouldn't be incumbent upon the referee to be the person that is all of a sudden the fight goes down to the ground after it's been standing up for 3 minutes. It goes down 15 seconds later. You have a referee saying, well, improve your position, and then standing people up out of a position 25 seconds after it hit the ground. Well, then we have a referee who is adjusting what the sport is. And that's not what is supposed to happen. What is supposed to happen is the referee is just an arbitrator with inside the ring that is making sure that it is a fair fight. He's not giving advantages to one fighter over another. And if one fighter does something that ends up being an illegal type thing that gives him an advantage, then the referee is there to try to even out that advantage. And if it's, you know, a safety thing, then he's got to get the fighter out, then he gets the fighter out. But we have referees that are adjusting the way the sport is, and that can't happen. The way to adjust the sport and to adjust what fighters are doing is through the judges. Once judges understand exactly what they should be giving credit to in a fight and how they give that credit depending upon what the fighters are doing, the fighters will adjust to what the judges are giving credit to. If judges don't give credit to guys that end up getting a sloppy takedown and sit there laying on top of someone just holding on and trying to stall out the fight, and that fighter gets no credit for that, well, then they're going to stop doing it, and they're going to end up doing what it is that is going to help them win the fight, because right now there are judges that actually give credit to the guy that takes down and lays on top of him because he had a takedown and he's on top. Well, that doesn't mean anything in the fight. It's not position-wise what is the most important. It's activity-wise and damage-wise is what is the most important thing. And so the command course is there to try to teach people exactly what they should be looking at and what they should be giving credit to when it comes to judging. And for refereeing, it's teaching the mechanics of being a referee, how to put yourself in the right position, where to go, how to understand where I need to go during the fight and why, how to slow the fight down as far as your understanding of everything that the fighters are doing, so you can slow it down by knowing if one fighter is, you know, putting a submission on another, is it a good submission attempt? Is the person defending right? If they're defending right, I can see that that's not going to work. Or if they're not defending right, I need to put myself in a position because, you know what, that can work because he's not doing the right thing. All of those things are the things that we try to teach and get people up to speed on as far as the command course and the certification of them. Once they pass it, it doesn't mean that they're ready to do the UFC, but it means that they can move on, start doing amateur fights, and start getting in-ring experience other than what they got in the training course, so that they start to have to make decisions and start to have to actually come up with what should be done and how it should be done when something happens, so that someday they move on and, you know, they can do the, you know, professionals and start moving on to the bigger shows. And I've had guys that have moved on and done shows like Strikeforce, have done the UFC, and have done very well all over the world.
That more insight and more you'll get in the brand new book, his first book, Let's Get It On, Big John McCarthy, with a great writer, Loretta Hunt. Before I let you go, John, I know that you know, we let our fighters plug things when they get on the show. Is there anything other than the book that you have to plug? Any Twitter or Facebook, anything like that, that people can connect with you?
You know what? Nah, is, you know, if people want to get in touch with me, they can go through my gym site, which is bjmuta.com. And if they want the book and they don't want to go to Amazon, if they want a signed copy, they can go to mmareferee.com and tell us what you want, and we'll send you out a book that's signed for you. So that would be about it.
Perfect Christmas gift. That's what I'm thinking. Big John McCarthy, thanks again for the time. Best of luck to you, and yeah, great book, and looking forward to seeing it the number one in the New York Times bestseller list very soon.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you very much for your time, guys.
Thanks, John.
All right, thanks.
Big John McCarthy. All right, so we'll be back in a second. The fantasy MMA draft. I destroy PJ in just a few minutes. This is the MMA show, New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WJAM, the game. WGAM MMA show final segment on a Thursday night. You're just joining us. Shame on you. How dare you join us late? Great show. We talked all about the news, a little bit about one UFC 134 at the top of the show. Great interview with MMA legend, I guess you could say, referee. I'm going to say MMA legend. Big John McCarthy, his new book is out right now. I keep saying new book, his only book, but it's new.
It is.
This week.
Today.
Today?
As a matter of fact, yeah.
I always get
it dropped today, as they say in the business.
I always get mixed up for where, like, because CDs drop on Tuesdays.
Yep.
Movies are Tuesdays, but sometimes they're, I don't know.
Usually Friday's the big opening weekend, but Wednesday they can have like sneak previews.
I'm talking about like DVDs and things like that.
Those are Tuesdays as well, I believe. Yeah, I think CDs and DVDs are the same.
My head just imploded. Okay, so we are going to get to the fantasy MMA draft. However, if you missed any of this show or any of our past shows, fear not, listener. There's always a way to listen and share with your friends. PJ, how do they do that?
Well, you can go to WGAMthegame.com. You search under shows for the WGAM MMA show, and we podcast everything that we do, including tonight's show with Big John McCarthy. You can also check out WGAMMMA.com. That's the blog. You can check out or check us out on Twitter at WGAM_MMA and also on Facebook. We are all over the place.
We are, and we did a lot of reporting about all the different fights at UFC 134. Took a little break because PJ and I were at the bar watching the event. I didn't really bring the computer laptop in there, so
We have a whole show dedicated to why the ultimate nachos we got at Jillian's were not really quite ultimate.
Okay. Nachos are terrible. okay, so let's get into this right now. Fantasy MMA draft is fantasy football season. PJ and I pick numbers out of a hat. I get the number one pick. He got two. The only criteria, PJ, is a person has to be active, so it cannot be a Randy Couture.
Okay.
Okay. So, my first pick.
Does Dan Severn count? He is technically still active.
He is still active. He does count. He does count.
I'm not picking him. Don't worry.
Sakuraba in Japan still counts as well, even though I don't think anyone would pick him. Okay. So, my first pick in the fantasy MMA draft, I'm going to start a fight team with guys right now. My first pick is going to be UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones.
Wow.
John Jones would be, I'm going to even type this in, John Jones, just for my own edification. John Jones, I think, is a very unique athlete, a special athlete. He is someone that has risen to every challenge that's faced. He has one loss, but really it was a victory because he was dominating Matt Hamill just because some illegal elbow strikes, little illegal elbow strikes.
Yeah.
He was denied his victory. John Jones, UFC heavyweight champion, light heavyweight champion. Out of everyone, I think he is the man, and he is my first pick.
It's a little surprising. I thought there were two guys that could have gone ahead of him, and I'm going to pick one of those guys.
How
and
dare you?
I still understand how you did not pick him first. Anderson Silva. He is the best fighter in the world. And every time they bring up a fighter who's you think that could beat him, he beaets. Even a guy who dominated him, like Chael Sonnen, and dominated him for 4.5 rounds, and then he catches him and chokes him out, and that's it. Anderson Silva, I am very happy that you passed on him, and I like that. It's my number one pick.
Anderson Silva, the one reason I did not pick him, age. John Jones, very young, still a lot of time to dominate.
Yeah, but Silva doesn't get hit. MMA age, he's not like the other guys who just get punched. He doesn't get hit. He takes no damage.
All right, so Anderson Silva is your number one pick.
I have a sneaking suspicion where you're going next.
You do? My next pick in the first annual MMA draft, I will pick a man that has been on the shelf for a while. He is a guy that is a talented fighter out of California, fights with a great team. He is your UFC heavyweight champion of the world, Cain Velasquez. Cain Velasquez is my next pick. He is young. He is undefeated. He is great. He is a champion. He's been hurt, and I think he's going to come back and fight strong. He dominated Brock Lesnar, which a lot of people thought was impossible. Cain Velasquez, your number two pick for team, Nason.
A very good pick, but again, I'm very happy that you passed on this guy, who's one of my favorite fighters, GSP George St. Pierre.
Yes.
Many consider the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, even over Anderson Silva. You look at his last few fights and he keeps getting better and better and better, and he doesn't finish fights maybe as much as you'd like or the UFC would like, but the opponents that he fights, they know they've been in a fight with him. He utilizes the jab pr- probably better than any other fighter in mixed martial arts. George St. Pierre. Oh, I like my team. I really like my team.
For my next pick, it is a very easy choice. Someone that is also a champion. Someone that is shares a country with Anderson Silva. Someone that is a killer. He did not show that in his last fight, however, I think as anomaly. My next pick is the UFC featherweight champion of the world, Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo, I think he is the next coming of dominance, very similar to GSP. He hasn't lost in years, and I think he is. I think he's the man, and he's a killer. And unfortunately, I think Kenny Florian is going to find that out in a couple months. Your next pick.
All right. I'm a little conflicted here because I guess I could go with. I have a hard time not picking a champion right now. Yeah, because our first five picks have all been champions, so I'm going to go with the UFC lightweight champion Frankie Edgar. He's been laid up. He had a little injury. His next fight with Gray Maynard has been pushed back a little bit, but he fights at a pace that he does not get tired. I don't know how he can go. Like this fights with BJ Penn, just conditioning is spectacular. He's a guy maybe a lot of people don't know yet. He's still up and coming, but he is the real deal. I will take the lightweight champion, Frankie Edgar.
Very good. I will take, as I make a pick in my fantasy draft for real here, done. Let's see.
Who'd you take, by the way, real quick?
LeGarrette Blount.
Okay.
Third round. So I will pick, I know, actually, what am I talking about? I know who I'm going to pick. So a man that is also a champion. He is shown to be a Faber killer. He is shown to be a champion. Shown to be fast, elusive, and he's going to fight for the first UFC championship fight on essentially free TV. UFC bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz is going to be my next pick. He is really great. Take that.
And I'm going to, right now, I guess the first pick, non-champion. He is a former champion, and his only loss in a very long time recently was to one of my other teammates are now one of my guys on my team, GSP. I will take Jake Shields. Number four pick.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Now, what do you like about Jake Shields? He's headlining. Jake Shields, we should send condolences. His father passing away this past week. He is still going to fight at the September card coming up, which is good for him. Jake Shields' dad is very involved in the MMA or martial arts community as a whole. So definitely, yeah, that sucks to hear anyone's parents dying, but yeah, especially for Jake Shields and time.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, you can go back, watch the UFC, I think it was UFC Primetime with
GSP.
With GSP and yep. Jake Shields, and you learn a lot about his family and his upbringing and what he was like and what it was like to grow up, and I really like the way he fights. I think, you know, and he just ran up to against a guy in George St. Pierre who's just better than him, but he is still one of the best in the world.
He is. Let's see. So my next pick, boy, there's some great talent out there right now. I'm going to take, I'm going to go across the pond a bit, to Strikeforce. I'm going to go to Strikeforce and I'm going to find us a Strikeforce fighter. And the Strikeforce fighter I'm going to take is the man that I think is going to be a name in the UFC. I'm going to take a 155-pound Strikeforce champion, Gilbert Melendez. Mm. Gilbert Melendez is going to be my pick. You follow Jake Shields. He's a teammate of Jake Shields, I do believe. So, yeah, Jake Shields and his teammate, I'm taking Gil Melendez with my next pick.
And I'm going to go a little surprising. I want another energy guy on my team. And a guy who was up and down for a little while, but now has put together a string of some very good fights. And a guy we talked about a little bit earlier on in the show, who might be fighting on that Fox debut, and that is Ben Henderson.
Ben Henderson!
Yes.
Wow, great pick.
You cut me off.
Oh, sorry.
Ben Henderson's opponent, Clay Guida.
Wow.
I will take Clay Guida on my team.
Clay Guida, great pick. You like the long hair and the tattoos and all that stuff.
I do, yeah. And he's a guy who's really a fan favorite. And you listen to him speak in interviews and stuff. He's one of the nicest guys in the UFC and has really put it together and really found his game. And I think he's on his way up now. So I will take Clay Guida on my team.
I'm ashamed of who I did not take with my last pick, but I'm glad that you did not, because I'm going to take this guy. One of my favorite fighters to watch in the world today. Just saw him headline UFC 133 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The man that could be champion once again.
Yep.
Rashad Evans.
Yes.
Sugar is my next pick. The man. He's awesome. He is like an NFL quarterback.
He's like an NFL quarterback?
He gives off that swagger, that style. Reminds me of Tom Brady. Tom Brady. I don't know what it is. He's the man. I love.
He did look very, very impressive in that fight.
Let's see. I would say you have one more pick. I know we're running low on time. Do we still have a couple minutes?
Yeah, I can make my one pick. See, I was prepared to do five picks, and now I got to look back and.
So far this is good. This is good. There's a lot of good picks on the board here. Again, my last pick, Rashad Evans. My team is do a quick review here. My team is John Jones. I almost said Josh Nason. John Jones, Cain Velasquez, Jose Aldo, Dominic Cruz, Gil Melendez, and Rashad Evans.
And so far I have Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre, Frankie Edgar, Jake Shields, Clay Guida.
Who's it gonna be? There's Bellator out there. There's one fighter in Bellator I almost picked. That was Eddie Alvarez. So.
I think that's who I'm gonna pick. Yeah.
Whoa! All right.
Thank you,
Eddie Alvarez.
Yes, that's it.
Eddie Alvarez. So yeah, you got some champions there. You got some talent there. So let's see. I'm trying to think who we didn't take.
Most of us stayed away from the heavyweights.
We did.
Cain Velasquez, but I don't have a heavyweight on my list.
Yeah, all the champions are taken.
I didn't take Brock because Brock's right now on the shelf. And
if it was pay-per-view buys, I would definitely take Brock.
Yes.
For sure. We didn't take guys like Dan Henderson, Mauricio Shogun Hua. We did not take Forrest Griffin.
I wouldn't have taken Forrest Griffin. Shogun is... Yeah, I'm kind of a little upset I didn't take him. But.
150 Gray Maynard we don't take. He could be the next lightweight champion of the world coming up. Nick Diaz we did not take. He is fighting GSP. Boy, there's a lot. So we went deeper. We certainly
if we had a full squad, yeah, we could go back and forth.
Who would you take for a trainer?
I guess I'd have to take Greg Jackson, right?
You would take Greg Jackson. I think that would be probably a pretty good pick. I might take someone from AKA... Actually, there's Faraz. There's a lot of good guys out there. So, yeah, we'll hold that off. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun to do every year. We'll do a little MMA fantasy draft. It gives us a good litmus test of what's going on in the business. And that music, much like on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, means it's time to go. I'm putting on the cardigan, the shoes, and we get to head out and go to Never Never Land or Make Believe Land.
The land of make believe.
1 hour every week. This is the land of make believe. we drift away. Had a great time. We talked a lot about UFC 134. Didn't even get the whole card. Big Nog Noguera coming back. Knockout of Brendan Schaub.
Very impressive.
Wow. I would say he could be back, but he's a name in that division now, so it'll be interesting to see who he fights next. Thanks to Big John McCarthy for joining us. Great interview. Go pick up his book. Go get an autograph book. I mean, come on. People still read, so you can go read. Thanks to all the fighters that are now on our fantasy teams, which is great. It's Labor Day weekend. PJ, you have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you for joining us. Thank me for being here as always. Thank you for listening at home. And remember, for the WGAM MMA show, always keep your chin down and your hands up. Good night.